So the Independent Electoral Commission briefing the media and through the media, of course, sending out messages to all of you about the state of readiness for the election, which is drawing closer by the day. 29th of May, we go to the polls, but of course, some people will be voting before that. And there are a number of hurdles to be overcome. There's the issue that arose at the Electoral Court or was adjudicated on by the Electoral Court. It didn't have its origins there in regard to the former President Jacob Zuma and the MK Party. There are still, I think, six matters, yes, that have been reserved. Parties who've been excluded from contesting the election, there are decisions still to be made. And until those decisions are made, of course, the ballot papers can't be printed. So there's a lot on the minds of people who are running the election. One of them is my next guest, Aktari Henning. Henning is the IEC's Deputy Chief Electoral Officer. Very good afternoon to you, and thanks so much for your time.
Good afternoon, John, and thank you for having me in particular and us as the IEC on your show. Thank you.
So I want to talk to you about the logistics. I understand there's a huge amount of material, 1.873 tons of material current that will be warehoused and stored and then gets moved around the country to some 23,200 different polling stations. Who's responsible for the security of that? Is that in the hands of South African law enforcement? Are there private contractors involved? What exactly happens there?
Okay. So indeed, it's quite a huge logistical operation, including what we call security materials, which I will not, because of the word security, go into too much detail. But we do have secure warehouses that is manned by both our internal security service providers as well as our security forces. Just to give you an inkling that when these ballot papers are moved to the provinces from the different printing locations, which are also under secured lockup facilities, and when we print, you only print our ballot papers, nothing else, and there is quite strict controls around that. We actually have the ballot papers escorted like VIP security, better than blue lights, I think,
yes,
all over the country to these locations. We also work on a very strict mechanism of rolling out province and then to local facilities and just putting our enforcement there to make sure that all our ballot papers in particular is accounted for, all our inking is accounted for, and all other security materials that you may not be aware of,
yes,
that's in our voting stations is kept to secured, but also that we have that inventory, you know, that sequential numbering that as auditors put in place to make sure all the stock is accounted for. We make sure that we have tight controls, even right down to the granular warehousing and keep, you know, so it's not just the security, the physical security, but the actual audit trail that's built into it to make sure that every item is accounted for, John.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on. We've still got six matters still to be adjudicated on in regard to parties that say they've been unfairly excluded from contesting the election. Do you have any idea when those will be settled? And is that, at what point does it start holding up the finalization of the ballot paper to a degree that starts causing problems for your deadlines?
Absolutely. We are hoping to hear by latest tomorrow. Obviously, we don't hold the hands and the pens of the Electoral Court. We have made provisions in our planning at this point in time because now we can isolate it to the five that have already been heard in our favor. Now we've got the six outstanding, of which the five is exactly around or similar of substance and nature to the other five that's been dismissed already. The one is an intra-party matter, which we are busy handling, the Electoral Court is handling, and there too. So we've tried to make provision and make sure that our printers can hold the printing capacity so that we can move on this the minute we have a go-ahead. Obviously, timelines is of key importance to us because it's great to say, oh, no, you've still got time till the 29th of May. No, my darling, you've got to roll forward because we've got special votes on the 27th and, the 27th and the 28th. I have got international voting abroad that needs to happen 10 days prior to that. So you've got to work your logistics backwards. But John, we're going to push this as the Electoral Commission. We have got the experience. We've stood the test of time in this country. And I firmly believe, both as a member of society and as an employee of the IECN executive, we will be able to handle this and pull it off.
18 minutes past four. We'll come back to this conversation with the IEC's Deputy Chief Electoral Officer, Aktari Henning. That in a moment, but it's traffic time. Talking about preparations for the elections on the 29th of May. Of course, some people will be voting before that, and then there will be the long process of counting and verifying and, dare I say, very likely some wrangling as well about results from political parties who might feel they should have got more, didn't get as many votes as they expected. I'm in the company of Aktari Henning, who is the IEC's Deputy Chief Electoral Officer. Ms. Henning, just returning to our conversation, I think it's fair to say that the IEC has had perhaps more political heat and static this time round than ever before in my recollection, and I've covered elections since 1994. What do you say to the argument, though, that the IEC to some extent has made that situation worse, somewhat worse, by going to the Constitutional Court on an urgent basis in regard to the MK Party matter, obviously with former President Jacob Zuma at the centre? Was it absolutely essential to do that now, given that this matter could be resolved after the election, arguably? Wouldn't it have been better to wait, get out of the political spotlight and get on with your job?
John, it's actually very critical for the IEC to get clarity on the matter. And, you know, the narrative goes that it's about the MK party and former President Zuma. This is about a core fundamental function which the IEC has been carrying out since this constitution came into existence. Section 47(1)(e) was there, and it's a substantive task that is given to the IEC, or has been given to the IEC all the years, of saying you need to verify candidates before you allow them to participate and be on a ballot. And it is key for us, especially as we are still running by-elections, and our first by-election also coming, we just discussed today, approved the timetable for the 11th of June. We have a duty, and we've always thought that was our duty, and we're not arguing with the course. We need clarity, like a CEO indicated earlier on as well. We need to know, did we err in, and have we overstepped in our role and our duty given to us mandatory by the Constitution in terms of Section 47(1)(e), because it is a key fundamental function that we've always embarked on as the IEC. Like you say, since 1994, you've been doing this. So indeed, the political heat is strong. It's hard. I always say when any institution is doing its best, you're going to get the hardest stick. And we've got to make sure that we clear this constitutional impediment that was placed upon us and get that clarity as soon as possible.
Would it be not fair to say, though, Ms. Henning, that that role that you play under that section of the Constitution is not a role that you would have to exercise between now and the May 29th poll? I mean, that part of your function in getting the country ready for elections, clearing candidate lists, that is to all intents and purposes complete. Doesn't that strengthen the argument for waiting?
No, it doesn't, because we do have by-elections happening right up and until. I mean, we've got political parties and independents coming to register still while we are trying to deal with this mammoth task of elections. Like I've said, we've got a by-election on the 11th. On the 11th of June. 11th of June.
But the 11th of June is after the 29th of May.
Absolutely. But remember, these processes that still need to happen. And as I've said, we've still got parties and independents coming to register for by-elections that's coming up. So we need to get clarity, because we don't want to err either way of the scale. So it's important for us as an institution to get that clarity. And I think that's for us where we the position that we take.
So the IEC has decided, and it was part of Saima Mabolo, the head of the IEC's response today, that they see no reason to accede to the demand from the MK party regarding Janet Love. Is that because the IEC believes that what the MK party says, i.e. that she prejudged the issue of former President Jacob Zuma's eligibility, is not sufficiently serious? Or are you saying that, in fact, you don't believe she prejudged it at all?
I think we need to work on a balance of fairness. And as CEO had indicated, and we've all been discussing, once there is substantive evidence, like we've always said when we were accused of favoring certain political parties before, as the IEC, first of all, we don't appoint the commissioners. Let me just put that to you.
Yes.
Okay? But due process and fair process needs to happen. And if there's evidence of this kind of misconduct that comes before us, we will refer it to the president who has appointed all commissioners. And remember, there's a panel that is set up with the Chief Justice making those us as public members of public making nominations. Then that shortlisting and those interviews on a public platform going through to Parliament in the various sectors that they have, right through to the National Assembly, making a recommendation.
Yes.
And if there is substance to it, come forward with that, show and prove the misconduct, and then we will be able to take, and in fact, not weenie, but the process will take its course. I think the way the process or where this whole thing started as well, we need to look into those matters. Was the comment specifically about a particular person, or was it a comment about what Section 47(1)(e) requires for me as an individual, if it was me, to be a candidate? Be it an independent or a member of a political party. So there's a lot to it that needs to be unfolded and need to be proven. And as the IEC, we are not in that place. Until such evidence comes forward, we will then direct it to the relevant parties.
So just a practical question then to conclude, Ms. Henning, from one of our listeners. Hasmuk asks, please ask your guest whether wheelchairs will be available at voting stations for the disabled on the 27th and 28th. Is that standard provision? And if not, is it something you'll be doing this year?
It's not a standard provision. We do, however, make sure that all facilities does have access for persons with disabilities. And it is something that we perhaps could look into.
Right.
I have myself, when I do go on my own mission under guise and not as a DCEO who makes sure that all of these 200,000 plus staff members are well equipped and trained to do their job, I have seen, however, that there are members of the public, political parties, NGOs, that would bring, the elderly or the infirm to be able to come to voting stations. However, I want to urge people that we do have something called special votes, where if you are unable to come to a voting station, we do have special votes on the 27th and the 28th. There is an application process. However, please tell Hasmuk, if he is listening, you don't need to tell him then, that we also go to our aged and our ladies who are pregnant, so they do get to jump the queue if they do pick up at the voting station, so that they, they don't get tired while they're standing in queues.
Thanks so much. Aktari Henning is the IEC Deputy Chief Electoral Officer. 29 minutes past 4.